What's up, everyone? So we recently had a loss in the gaming community. Desmond Amofa, aka Etika, passed away by suicide. We wanted to give our thoughts and prayers to his family and friends. If you're having any kind of suicidal thoughts or know someone who is, please call 1-800-273-8255. Your life is important. And now we'll continue on with the normal cast. What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 3, Episode 21. We are now official.
21!
What's 9 plus 10?
21?
You stupid!
We are here to bring you the latest gaming news, impressions, and all things surrounding video games. But from a minority perspective.
Aww.
The best perspective. Today on the cast, we have...
Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
Mega Filipino.
Ooh, really?
Putangina mo!
Oh. Hello to you, too.
Yeah, that means excuse me. You should say it to every Filipino you see.
I totally will start doing that.
Did he have that as a t-shirt? I will wear that.
Next get up. You one.
I'm Douglas, a.k.a. the Barrister of Baltimore.
The Barrister? Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Did you have to kill someone to take that title, or how was that?
Oh, we can't say those details. Like, once you leave law school, what happens in there stays there.
It's like North Virginia.
What is that? Who the fuck are you?
I am DJ, a.k.a. Did you know? I have a paragraph, guys, so hold on to your trousers. Danny DeVito used to be a beautician, which is, did not know that, but it gets better. He went to New York to learn makeup, but the lady he sought after to teach him only accepted students who was from the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. So he enrolled for a semester, and that's how he got into acting.
That's wild.
That is insane.
Danny DeVito could have been a celebrity beautician.
And instead, he is a beloved actor.
Yeah, right?
Who would have known?
That is crazy. What else is crazy is the games that we've been playing.
I have been playing Crash Team Racing. I have beat the first boss, which is Nitrous Oxide. Now I am re-going through the game to get all the CTR tokens and the relics.
Really?
Because they have like time trials.
Yeah.
Shit is harder than I remember. I don't understand how I did this the first time around. Like, this shit is mega hard.
Phrasing.
So I'm working my way through that slowly.
Yeah.
And then I also am back into Smash Brothers.
Really?
I'm trying to complete the World of Light because I want to see the ending.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about streaming that as well because I find it funny when I'm cursing at the game. So others may find it funny as well.
Are you thinking of streaming the World of Light stuff?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Just all of it. Also was playing with a friend of mine the other day because Lean Squad was actually, Casey from the Lean Squad, he was going to host a lobby, like I said, the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ended up getting postponed, and I ended up playing with one of my friends online. I don't know if he's a pro Smash player, but...
Was he playing like a pro?
He whooped my ass up and down the fucking street. You know? It was so bad. It was funny. All I could do was laugh. That I was getting, he does this shit where he like chases you off the fucking
stage
to make sure you do not get back on the stage. And it was nothing I could do but just laugh. The only times that I caused him to die was when he was forcing me to die and he had to commit. And the shit was just
and you grab his ankles, come here with me.
I think I maybe knocked him out once or twice, if that, out of, we played like 10 rounds, I want to say, maybe, I don't know.
You take those wins with you.
Amen.
So, that's all you have in the
end. I was thinking, man.
You at least got a punch in.
I was thinking, right? DJ got to get in on this asshole. Yeah. I ain't about to just be getting served by myself. You know what? I don't think the two of us could take him.
Right. Challenge accepted. Let's go. Oh, man. So, Doug, what you been playing?
I got back into Dead by Daylight. They released a new killer called Ghostface. Swallows comfortable chocolate frosting, your socks hanging out, yours is talking. Not Ghostface Killer.
Tommy Matola.
It's the killer from the Scream movies.
Mm.
And so his role is that he stalks you, and when he stalks you, he's able to put you in exposed status where he can pretty much one shot kill you.
You know what they should add? The killer from a Scary Movie.
Saying, "What's that?" Yeah, that'll be dope.
You're not the only one who actually asked it. Like, can that be the new Survivor and start for the Scary Movie franchise?
Really?
I would pay money for that. But they're also going through their 3rd year anniversary event, so lots of blood points, people playing. I've gotten back into doing some more Killer Time with Bing Bong, the Wraith, as well as with the Hag, and been playing a lot with my friends trying to survive. So
yeah. Do you find it easier to be a survivor or the killer?
With all the different changes to the game, I think it is easier to be successful as a killer.
I thought so, because I hated being a survivor in that game.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I like being a survivor if I have some people for whom I can play with. Like, there's a kid that is in Quebec that I play with where we play Survivor. We'll team up together and try to work together. But then again, you're going to have people who are going to run.
Did you just say running. Quebec? So you be speaking French with them?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
My friends are international. I got friends in Quebec, England.
So we just some broke niggas. Okay. You know, right? I only know niggas in PG County, right?
And North and Virginia.
None of Virginia's.
But go ahead. The other
guys. Okay. Well, I was talking about earlier, I have played some of MLB The Show. It is hard to playing a baseball game when your baseball team sucks.
Ouch.
Because who's everybody's stats is bad. I'm an Orioles fan. I actually was at an Orioles game earlier today. Yeah.
Did they lose?
Yes.
They won. That shouldn't be funny.
They need to put more points in their power stats.
It's just bad because, like, when you play in this game, because the Orioles have had so much turnover in terms of baseball players, usually, like, the core people, they'll have, like, really well-done visuals. But when you have all these new folks they bring up, they give some random, like, computer-generated mess. And it's like, these are a whole bunch of nobodies.
Insert generic WWE. Right.
Random Latin man. Boom. And so, it's just hard to play that game.
Is there any way that you can, like, do like some kind of microtransaction to make that better?
I mean, there are other game modes. You could play, like, you know, Final Fantasy, where you could build your own team. There's that as well. But if I want to play the Orioles against the, I don't know, the Nationals. Oh God, that's not a pretty game.
Jeez.
So a lot of time I'll play Road to the Show, which is like their single player mode. We develop a baseball player, get them through the minor league to the majors. So there's some hope there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's my time of gaming so far. How about you?
So, on last episode of Press X Star Podcast, I had said I was going to get up on that Harry Potter Wizards Unite game for the mobile platform.
Ooh.
So, I downloaded the game, as I said I would.
And what mobile platform are you using?
The iPhone 10.
Uh-huh. Fucking child's toy. Go ahead.
It's a cool child's toy, okay? But, so yeah, jumped on the game, started up. I was using my Pokemon Go skills, ready to play this game. I got hit with this tutorial and I'm just like, all right, this is a lot of text on screen. Like, what is going on? I knew Harry Potter. I knew that one. The other people, I don't know who the fuck they were.
DJ don't want to read all this fucking tutorial shit.
Wait. Is it reading the whole base of Harry Potter?
So here's the thing, right?
You'd be a terrible wizard, nigga. You ain't gonna learn no spells.
He's not a Hufflepuff, that's for sure.
I have an eidetic memory, so if they do something that looks cool, I'll remember that thing and I could do it. So, play this game, right? Instead of throwing Pokeballs to capture things, you're literally tracing spells on the phone with your finger.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is cool. Everything else around it, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Do you fly in a broom? Do you get to fly?
No. It's the exact same layout as Pokemon Go.
Okay.
So you have your little wizard. I didn't get to choose the color of my wizard. It's green. I'm okay with green, but I wish I could be like blue or red or another color.
Wait. Like, are his skin color?
I mean, my robe color.
Oh, okay.
Which is my skin color, really, in this game. I don't have a face in that game.
All right, another man, weird whatever, thing. Whatever, man.
They want you to take a picture of your face to put as your profile picture.
Yes.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it at all.
Take a picture of your left
elbow?
Yeah.
Elbow skin?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Close. See those wrinkles.
So
do it before you moisturize.
Botox
elbows. In the morning. So this game, you hunt. I'm going to completely butcher it. I'm sorry to the Harry Potter fans. Apparently, I'm not that big of a fan. But you hunt like confoundables or something.
You don't know what confoundables are, dog?
Nah, nigga.
Me neither. Go ahead.
Anyways, like you're putting these things in a book. But unlike Pokemon, where it's just you're putting these creatures in your Pokedex, you're putting a bunch of stuff. Like I saved the dude. I'm like, all right, cool. He was put in the book. I was like, well, that's weird. I fought a book that was on fire. I was like,
so instead of binders full of water, we got men full of books.
There's random stuff in this book.
So you're building an Encyclopedia Britannica, basically.
Pretty much.
That's showing our age. Like, shit.
Anyways, I played this game for about 10 minutes and put it down, and I went back to Dauntless.
Did you pay money for this game?
No, it's completely free. So you're welcome to have the same experience. You paid with your experience.
Time, bro. You can't get them times back.
And I think my data, in some way, shape, or form. I definitely did click through some things. I'll figure that out later. Anyways, Dauntless. Dauntless had their...
You're playing it a lot.
Oh, boy. Dauntless has become my anthem, but it's actually being supported. And the publisher isn't completely greedy. So Dauntless got an update. And I'm just going to say that it's made the game perform a lot better. One of the biggest problems with Dauntless is when you're in the hub area. I'm playing on a PlayStation 4 straight, no pro, no nothing.
Just regular old PS4.
And there's times where everything will stop and you're just there for a second.
Like the game froze?
Froze, yeah. And I've got to the point now where I don't even worry anymore because I know it's going to kick right back up again. And it does. And you're like 20 feet in front of you where you're supposed to be.
So you can't walk off a cliff or anything, can you?
Not in the hub. No, okay. Not in the hub. But when you're actually out in the world fighting like a beast.
But there ain't no fall damage either, though. So
there's no fall damage.
All right.
But I did run into an issue after this update where I was hit off of the cliff by a monster and it spawned me in the air. So I was just falling repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly.
You never landed?
No. Okay. The spawn point, it didn't put me on the ground. It put me after I fell.
Can you do anything in the air?
No. I mean, I can sit there and watch my body fall.
So you can't do any actions?
No. Uh-oh. I had to quit out the game. And I wanted to kill that thing and get all the loot, but that didn't work out. Okay. Anyways.
You love use that loot, Jesus.
I do. I do. I really do. So we talked off mic. So right now, I'm really just playing Dauntless until another game comes up.
Yeah, but I feel like I need another good story mode game.
Yeah.
Something to really send me to a new adventure. I know there are other games, like I could play God of War eventually.
I was about to say.
If Days Gone didn't have zombies, like I would love to, like
they're not zombies, so you're in good shape.
The infected people, bye.
They're freakers with Rolexes.
They just have the flu, guys. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, just why couldn't they get the flu? So like, go to CVS. Why can't they have CVS? Right. They don't have CVS or Giant in Oregon.
Oh man.
So
that's pretty much been what I have been playing. With that said, we will have a word from our sponsors.
That good ass Anne Arundel County water.
Hell yeah.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. So first up is the quick hits. So starting with quick hit number 1, PlayStation Plus games. We have 2 games for July. We have Pro Evolution Soccer for the for the football heads out there.
Soccer is still okay. But is that like bootleg FIFA?
I think actually this is the only competition to FIFA.
Which is good. You want competition. Yeah. It forces you to change up your game. Yeah,
they haven't Madden
and not just yet. Do your roster updates every year.
Exactly.
And charge you another $60 and then they bend you over to hot coals with microtransactions.
Right. Looking at you, Halo.
Halo got microtransactions?
Okay. Okay, next up is Horizon Chase Turbo.
Now, I am surprised because I wrote this game off.
Yep, me too.
I'm not going to play it.
But you will put in your shopping cart because it's free?
Yeah, you know, I already added it to my library. I just haven't I'm not going to download it.
Yeah.
I have to be like really super bored, but it looks like trash if you didn't understand the intent behind the game.
Yep, right.
It's a racing game. Did you already mention the title?
No, I didn't. I said the title, but I didn't mention what kind of game
it was. Okay, so Horizon Chase Turbo is a racing game inspired by the great hits of the 80s and 90s, which is OutRun, Lotus Turbo Challenge, Top Gear, Rush, and other games of that era.
Yeah.
So it looked like trash until I understood that it was meant to look like a 16-bit expired game.
Right. It looks like a lot of fun. And I think this might be the game that I get and see how it goes.
Surprisingly, it has a 9 out of 10, 82% on Metacritic, 10 out of 10 on Steam out of 692 reviews. Like,
how often do you guys actually play the PlayStation Plus free games?
I haven't in a while.
When they're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
In this year.
If I have nothing else to play, like I used to try to make it a habit to try to play all the free games because there might be some stuff that you wouldn't normally be into, but you like
try it anyways and see.
Like The Binding of Isaac, that was on PlayStation Plus however many years ago, and I still play it to this day. Yeah. Spelunky was, I still play it. So yeah.
There's some gems here, but none this year stuck out to you?
I don't remember.
Yes, I don't want to say no because I honestly do not remember.
So actually, I guess the correct there's none. There's no memorable game this year.
Yes, we'll say that. I could say that for me, anyways. There was definitely a game that I downloaded. I was like, I'm gonna get to this, and I just completely forgot. It wasn't Dauntless. It wasn't Anthem.
So what else is in the kick hits?
We have Xbox Games for Gold.
Yeah.
Also for July. Number one, Inside. You guys remember that game, right? And I guess Xbox Games for Gold. I don't have an Xbox, so this is the way that they have their time frame is kind of different for me. That game's going to be available between July 1st and the 31st for Xbox One. Next up, we have Big Crown Showdown. I have no idea what that is, but it's going to be available July 16th through August 15th, which is weird because it's supposed to be for July and that's August. So what's going on, Microsoft? Get your stuff right. Anyways. Next up, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. That's available.
I wanted to play that.
Yeah, but wasn't this one of the games that they discussed at
E3? Are you talking about Bloodstained?
Castlevania?
No, Bloodstained is made by a guy who worked on...
Okay.
Yeah, on Castlevania. I wanted to play this. This was originally on PlayStation 1, I think.
Yes.
I never played it. I do want to play this, but I'm not going to pay for Xbox Gold, so whatever.
Right.
I'll go... download me an emulator.
All right,
just play Bloodstained.
Castlevania is available July 1st through the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360.
Okay, so we were asking what was a memorable game for PlayStation Plus this year. They had Hitman, the complete first season.
Oh, I did play that.
They did give out Metal Gear Solid 4 at one point.
This year?
Yeah.
Wow.
They gave out Call of Duty, Modern Warfare Remastered.
Witness, that was a thing.
Overcooked, if you're into that, Sonic Mania and Borderlands. So
a lot of my friends have been playing Borderlands.
Yeah, so whatever, move on.
All right, so last up is Meet the Robinsons, which is available July 16th through the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360.
That's inspired by that movie.
Is it? I have not a clue.
There was a movie called Meet the Robinsons. Yeah, it is.
Perfect. Look at them. Movie action.
Yeah, they're always trash. So.
Oh, that's. Boy. Anyways, next up, my friend Pedro already is more than profitable.
You should have wrote it out phonetically.
I should have removed it.
More
R
than profitable.
Yeah, so it's sold 250,000 units in the first week, which is really impressive. So, you know.
By Devolver, that's like I said, that's one of the best E3 presentations.
Yeah. So more power to them, you know. Hope that continues to sell well. Yeah. I was going to, but I don't like the controls. Like how they describe the controls, I'm just not.
I'll let you try mine.
Yeah, okay. That works. Next up, Dragon Ball creator to reveal new Dragon Ball Z canon stories in the upcoming game. I am so excited for this because what that means is it's not going to follow the Dragon Ball Z story one for one. They're going to divert and put different stuff into this game. So that's going to be so much fun for me.
Good.
I'm surprised Dragon Ball as a series has this much longevity.
Mm-hmm. It's called staying power.
It's called a cult.
It's because Goku is still powering up.
He hasn't reached his final form yet. Okay, so
and the other cult.
Oh yes, yes. Pokemon Masters bring real-time team battle to mobile this summer. I mean, it's literally July right now, so this summer is like next month. They need to hurry themselves up with this.
Well, the summer solstice just occurred, so they got some time.
They need to hurry up.
Hey,
they need
to
crunch.
You want to crunch?
Nah, I'm joking, guys. Don't kill yourself over this game. It's a mobile game. So Pokemon Masters, they actually released a trailer today. This weekend of recording. I don't want to say today because my timing could be off. The trailer showed it was about 4 minutes of just animated fluff of like the different gym leaders that you can encounter throughout this game. And then they actually showed actual gameplay of the game, and that looked so awesome. Mm. I have questions about exactly how you get to point A to point B to point C kind of thing. But from what I've seen, I liked it. The game is supposed to be a 3-on-3 battle where you, as your player, you have one Pokemon and you go and you team up with other gym leaders to form your team of three. And then you tackle or you fight other teams of three gym leaders kind of thing to go up to like the higher ranks.
I need to finish watching it, but
yeah.
We're going to have our team's shirt versus the blouses.
So, yeah, that looks really cool. The final quick hit, Tetris Royale. It is a 100-player Battle Royale game coming to mobile devices. If this sounds familiar, it's because we've had Tetris 99, which is the exact same thing on Switch.
I wonder who's putting this one out.
So, funny enough, I'm glad you asked that question. Turns out that these two games were not made in conjunction with each other. This is actually a separate title that was worked on outside the purview of the Tetris 99 game. So when that game was announced, this group was just like, oh, damn it. Seriously?
Mm-mm-mm.
So,
but I mean, more people have mobile phones than Switches, exactly. So this will do well.
And actually, that's one of the things that they mentioned in the post was like, yeah, like we're making this for mobile because mobile has a wider wider view base.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. Anyways, that was a quick hit. So now we get into the heavy hitters. First up, Doug.
Alrighty, so for those of you who are politically inclined, you know that our president has announced a series of tariffs against the government of China.
I love politicals.
Yay!
Inclining.
Well, you know, one good thing to give Trump credit, he knows how to bring people together, because right now, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo have joined together sending a letter to the U.S. Trade Representative asking the government to leave out video game consoles from the next batch of tariffs. So here's what's happening. The Trump administration is proposing adding 25% duty on a list of goods. One of those goods is video game consoles, because most of our video game consoles, even though they're from a Japanese company or American company, what have you, they're actually built in China and then imported into the United States.
Mm.
And so the big three came together and said, hey, you might not want to do that. So in particular, you want to get to the specific, they say, look, if you're going to add tariffs, this 25% tariff on video game console, what you're going to do, you're going to be hurting customers because they're the ones who can pay the ultimate price.
Right.
Video game developers, retailers, and console manufacturers, all those are going to be affected because people are not going to be as willing to pay a tariff, an additional 25% on what may be a $400 console, depending on what new thing come out, or $300, what have you. They're going to just not buy it. And so if you're not buying a console, you're not going to buy the related games to that console. And they have the trickle effect from that. And so, you know, they have a letter, is quite in depth and has some great numbers if you ever want to look into it yourself. One of the big things, it says over 96% of video game consoles imported to the United States were made in China, and that in 2018...
Wait, that's so crazy.
96%, right, yeah, yeah.
Already the 4% made?
Right.
And he said that in...
Thailand.
Taiwan,
there we go.
In 2018, approximately 110 million console gamers in the United States spent around $15 billion in video game software and services, which is equating to over $130 in annual software and services spent per gamer.
Yet games are for kids, everyone.
Well, they said that if you... And they argue a price increase of 25% will likely put a new video game console out of reach for many American families who we expect to be in the market for a console this holiday season. For those purchases that do go forward despite tariffs, consumers would pay $184 million more than they otherwise would have.
Boy.
Right. And that, according to another independent study, is noted that even after accounting for new tariff revenue, the result is a net $350 million loss for the U.S. economy.
He doesn't care.
Nope.
I don't even understand how tariffs work exactly. No. So.
And of course, when it comes to video games, one of the things they noted is that retailers that distribute video game consoles will feel the greatest effect, because video game consoles are primarily sold in brick and mortar retailers such as GameStop, Best Buy, and Walmart. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
All they have to do to fix this is say Obama would have won the tariffs.
He'd be against it. So just let you know, ladies and gentlemen, elections have consequences.
Yep.
And even though this is a comment period, there's nothing to prevent the administration from just still going forward with their plan. Just give me a heads up that come this holiday season, you might see 25% increase. I think the only person who actually makes out good is Google.
Yeah. Which is...
I'm waiting for that commercial.
But I mean, hey, where's the controller being made, though, still? So
that's true.
That, well, it's only for video game consoles right now that I know of. I'm not sure about...
how the tariffs work.
They get into minute detail of which specific item is it applied.
Yeah.
But it could apply. I can double check to see if it applies to controllers, because you're more likely than not... Yeah, they're not made in California.
No, okay. Definitely not.
Designed in Cupertino. Okay, so on more cult news, Pokemon Sword and Shield. Apparently, there's a controversy going on right now. The National Pokedex is not going to be in the game, so you cannot import all 20 million of the past Pokemon from previous games.
Yeah,
they're just going to have a select, I don't know what they call it, just local Pokedex.
So the Pokedex is going to be based off of the Pokedex in Sword and Shield.
The England region.
Yes, there.
Yeah. Tea and crumpets.
Well, I guess this is post-Brexit, so it won't include the EU, just the UK.
Yeah.
Point.
I'm guessing it's due to time constraints.
Yeah. That's like over 800 Pokemon they'd have to design and animate to
but
put
then
into
here's the thing, though.
Get it done.
Here's the thing, though. They showed... like the textures and what have you, compared to, what was it, Zelda Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
And that looks like ridiculously super detailed compared to this, so it could have looked better. What it looks like is this was a 3DS game that they at the last minute, like, up-rezzed kind of and threw onto the Switch.
Yeah.
And they had already future-proofed. I don't know if you actually know about Pokemon Sun and Moon and Sun and Moon Ultra or whatever.
No. I do remember that.
They actually future-proof the Pokemon. Like, a lot of them are in higher resolution than they need to be. So, I'm not understanding why they're doing this.
I think what they mean by this is that... because right now, from what we know, in Pokemon Sword and Shield, there's going to be a combination of the first, like, 150 Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then, like, ones that are... like, I think... I want to say that it's going to be the Sun and Moon Pokemon that's going to be into this game, and then new Pokemon, and they're just going to have just that group, but I'm not positive.
I'm really hoping they don't pull the same shit they did last time with Sun and Moon and come out with Sun and Moon Ultra, like Sword and Shield Ultra, like a year later. I don't remember the time gap between that, but that'll really be shitty.
Yeah. Please don't do that.
It is what it is.
Right. We'll see what happens.
But, DJ?
So So we've been talking about Crunch a lot, right?
Nestle?
And yes. Oh, can we talk about Crunch Nest? Oh my gosh. So, man, that bar is okay. I mean, So Crunch is not sustainable, but Blizzard wouldn't be Blizzard without it, says the founder of Blizzard.
That's like saying slavery. Hey, slavery in America ain't sustainable, but
it built the capital.
Who would we be?
Right. Without
Don't
it.
You love how we how great we become?
Well, you always gotta bring a race.
Right. If it wasn't for you black people building this stuff, we wouldn't be here today.
No, but that's kind of shitty, Blizzard.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, the thing is, so let me just, so we're getting this from Eurogamer. You could check it out. I just want to read a quick blurb. Blizzard wouldn't be where it currently is without periods of overwork or crunch. The company now departed co-founder Mike, ooh, gonna mess up that last name. I'm gonna call him M. Told Eurogamer at Game Lab this week.
You remind me of a graduation ceremony when you see your name and you know they're like.
Nah, not gonna do it. However, he feels that this way of working is not sustainable and that the industry as a whole is moving away from it. Well, yes, it's not sustainable because you're overworking your people.
And pretty soon they're going to unionize against it. So to keep that at bay, maybe you should make those changes.
Right. And the problem is, yes, crunch was a thing. Actually, it still is a thing that the industry has deemed necessary to get these games out on the date that they're saying that the game needs to come out on.
It's one of the few retro
but it's not
qualities
true.
Of the video game industry. Usually in tech, they tend to be the more progressive ones because, like, you don't have people don't wear shirts and ties. It's very lax. You have a different type of, you know, agile work systems. But crunch is actually very old. It's an old school way of production, which is like, get it out by any means necessary. Forget looking at them kids. Don't go home. We'll order takeout. You're going to stay here and we're going to do it together and get it all done.
Right.
It's a very old style of management.
We have to hit that deadline, essentially.
By any means necessary. You know, it's a made up deadline.
Right. That's another thing, too. So, like,
it's for the investors and the shareholders, though, unfortunately. So,
right.
They're beholden to them.
Yeah.
They're beholden to them, yes. However, it is still, they're the ones who set the deadline of what they're going to make. They are also the ones who decide what they disclose to those investors. You don't have to reveal every single promise to them. You know, your obligation as an executive is making sure you put out a good product. I mean, look at EA example. After all the time investment, they're trying to hit that deadline with Anthem saying, we're going to give you a good product. It's going to be awesome. But you could argue they did a disservice to their shareholders by putting out something that was so bad that is become more of a cost.
Right. So a famous quote is, it's from one of the top gaming heads, but I'm paraphrasing, but it is, a bad game is bad forever, but a late game is just late.
That's Miyamoto.
Is it Miyamoto?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to say it was him, but like I wasn't sure. And I'm pretty sure I'm missing a couple
more words. I love
what
you said it. So
words.
like, straight to his face, right. Like, do you not know who this is?
Fool me once, can't be fooled again. Now, what is commendable, speaking on crunch, which they're still fucking terrible because they have their employees working like 70-hour weeks sometimes. Yeah. Epic Games is actually giving their employees 2 weeks off.
Wow. Like, all of them. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually pretty cool.
Which is funny because that's actually a Fortnite, but...
You got us again, Epic. So another thing that was said in this whole blurb was, this is coming from the same Mike M. I can't speak for other companies, and I'm sure there are better ways of doing things. But for us, I don't think we'd be as successful if we hadn't put everything that we had. And this is the one thing that, for lack of better words, blow my life when people talk about crunch and so on and so forth. Like, people confuse crunch with the developer being like enthusiastic about getting the stuff done or whatever. Yeah. You can do that fine. The problem comes. The problem with that is when you are enforcing, hey, you have to work 80 hours this week. There's no like bridge for developer enthusiasm. Like, now you're telling me I have to be here another 40 hours this week. Like, no.
They turn it into Foxconn sweatshops, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that.
But oh. Back on the docket.
Back on the docket.
So Google Stadia consumers will maintain access to games even if publishers pull support. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to go about doing that.
I imagine a lot of long, lengthy, detailed contracts.
Yeah. So I think the idea is that the contracts are going to be different now going forward with Google Stadia in terms of, hey, you released this game on our system. We have rights to sell it after anything happens to you.
I mean, I guess that's a positive for gamers because we're moving into the whole you're buying a license to play the game.
Exactly.
And they can just pull that license at any time.
Yeah. So, like, I actually heard this story on Kinda Funny. Mm-hmm. And the example that they used, and I thought was a good example, was PT.
Yeah.
That whole fiasco with the demo and Kojima leaving. So, Konami was like, oh, we're taking this shit off everything. So, like, I definitely like the fact that they are looking at the possible sticking points to Stadia, to, like, streaming games, and be like, okay, we'll make sure that we have this and this stuff ready to go so people don't have these questions.
Especially when you're trying to convince people to move away from hardware.
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest fears is that when you buy a game, you know, it is a license, and there's not a whole lot of regulation in this area.
They can just stop it from working at any point in time.
Technically, yeah.
Right.
Could they say, hey, we see all that bit that EULA, that all that list of terms and conditions, you click the box. Yes, so it's okay, right?
Yeah.
And
we also need your kidney, please, thanks.
Mm-hmm. and you know, I like Telltale Games, and I'm like, I know Telltale had their own business models, but don't take my Batman away from me.
We never talked about that on the podcast, actually.
What's that?
So there was a big thing about the Telltale games for 360.
Yeah.
They had to put them back online so people can download them.
Yeah.
But they put them back online and put the price tag for like $100.
To discourage people from buying
it. Yeah. And it's just like, why is it that we have to go through this?
Yeah. For a defunct company. Yeah,
they delisted them on GOG.
Yep.
And some other stuff. And then you have things like PT, which was supposed to be the
playable trailer.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the teaser to Silent Hills. They took that away from us. Like, even if you downloaded it at some point, you can't re-download it.
Right.
Which is, you know, if you had a disc
without workarounds,
you could play your disc game to any time all day long.
Right.
But this is, you know, these companies are trying to convince to go to a more electronic universe, and this is the big risk. It's like, why should I trust you?
Exactly. This is the new frontier. The frontier of we don't own shit anymore.
Yeah.
Well.
And the day in which we're recording it is the last day of Pride, so woohoo. This is an announcement from Nutaku, which says they are going to contribute $5 million for the development of erotic LGBT games.
So when you said Nutaku.
Nutaku.
Are they like a branch of Kotaku?
They're not into journalism.
Oh.
They're into making games for adults.
Okay.
Yeah. Like such lifeful games.
Are they all adult games?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
They also have solitaire.
I think so. I mean, at least for the gay section, they have games such as Men Bang and Cockville. And Booty Calls Men Cockville. At Work.
Is that like similar to like Farmville?
Yes.
Oh, man.
But with a booty farm.
Okay.
So you just go through the rows of...
Booty?
booty, rocking everywhere. But the reason why they're making this big to-do is that they're trying to increase, I guess, in the adult erotic video game market is more geared towards straight men. And so you don't have as many games towards women or other sexual minorities. And so they're like, hey, you know,
Wait. It's geared towards more men?
For the most part, yes. In general.
Interesting.
And so, well, straight men is the biggest consumer.
Oh, straight men. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was confused.
No. Keep this going. What they're trying to do is put $5 million over the next 3 years for, as they call it, more nuanced game experience that goes beyond the cliche. Mm. And so they currently host over 40 game titles in their LGBT game section. and that they're trying to find ways in which they can at least bring out new development.
Yeah.
So,
I can imagine somebody downloading a game and not realizing what genre it's in. Like, wait, what? You want me to do what?
Wait, what's going on here?
Although, fun fact, MindGeek is the parent company of Nutaku, and they're also the ones, same people who own Pornhub, YouPorn, and Brazzers. So
that's Brazzers. Brazzers. Respect the name.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Not that I've been to that website.
.com.
But the thing about it is that they're trying to say, one thing I give Pornhub credit is that they have actually data scientists, and every time they always have like different type of good statistical analysis over who uses their services. And so it's interesting to see how they're trying to like branch out and find new ways, because they also do similar press releases over data, over Primo, over who uses their game platform. Mm-hmm. So to see it also affect their gaming development is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, happy Pride.
So, okay, I have a couple questions.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
So what is your thoughts on this, Doug? Because
on erotic video games?
Yeah, so I think this is awesome. But I feel like by throwing erotica on this title, they kind of limit themselves in terms of like,
I'm curious, like, investors, how much money can this really...
I mean, porn makes money.
That is true. That is very true.
I think that from my understanding, this is to help a particular number of game developers who want to express themselves that may not have the financial capital to do it, especially because you're right, it is much more of a smaller niche market than the general market.
Yeah.
Especially, let's say if you go to like the transgender community, it is a small subset. So it is a...
I mean, really and truly, it might not be, because
that's true.
People be
that's
clicking true. On whatever.
That's true. True. Your orientation does not dictate what games you play.
That's true.
And that's the whole point of fantasy.
Look at me. I play Dauntless. Don't know how that works. What is so here's the thing, right? I was racking my brain to figure out a game to say, and I had nothing. I had nothing in the tank.
Well, maybe you should go to Nutaku and see what games out there for you in your wholesome exploration.
Oh, man. I'm tired, guys. I'm sorry.
This is for kids who search up naked women. Like, these games don't even look interesting.
They are. I will say one of the games do have some well-known, I guess, actors. I'm like, okay, there's some research here. Somebody's spending some time and money trying to do this.
How much porn do you watch to recognize an animated actor, the animated version?
I'm not going to answer that question. I just know that, you know, I can recognize faces well and have a good memory
for research and
science.
That's commendable, because I don't have a good memory, obviously. So, you know, I wish them all the best. I really hope this works out. Again, like, if it was just, hey, we want to make a thing where we're trying to put out all these LGBTQ+ games. Nailed it, by the way.
You know, I'm rolling my eyes real hard. I know. that's a for the culture topic another day.
Rolling back at him, DJ.
But like, can you imagine if like they did this and Google's like, you know what? We'll support you. On top of that, you can come to Stadia.
I love how you talk about topping and coming and talking about Stadia at the same time. Thank you so much. Why not? I mean, I would say that if you had a major publisher invest into erotic video game development, that in and of itself would be newsworthy.
That would be
crazy. Or too puritanical over here. No major company is going to invest in that.
Mm. Microsoft, like, hey, sure. We know our platform.
We know what you do at right? night.
And you still probably can't cuss in the game.
Right? Oh, butt sticks.
All right. Well, I think that's been it. I think we've covered all the stuff that happened this week.
Yeah.
All the things.
Hope you guys have an awesome July 4th weekend.
Yes. Enjoy the fireworks. Don't blow your hand off, because
you can't play games without hands.
Well, actually,
or play erotic video games.
You know what? No, that's you're right. Microsoft has that
that
handy capable new controller. Yep. So And if blow off all the fingers you want.
And just in case, if you need somebody, need some help, I know a good barrister.
Well, this has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. If you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. And again, remember, if you are going through things, please tell someone. Don't just keep it to yourself. And with that, stay safe.
Tout à l'heure.